You are listening to KDUCK's Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUCK's Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. Today, I had several stories that I was considering talking about. One is the situation in Ferguson. My own view is that at some point in time, and this will be probably shortly, there'll be a no bill. In other words, the grand jury will not indict the police officer for the simple reason he's not guilty of anything. And that's what the evidence will show. And that's not going to please certain agitators, community organizers, communist agitators, and other rabble that really want to riot in Ferguson and in Missouri. They're not going to be happy, especially some in the media that covered this and really were stoking the flames. Really, this was a teenage thug that tried to kill a cop, and unfortunately for him, was gunned down. It was justifiable homicide, it was self-defense, and they're not going to accept that because it's a black man. The problem, ladies and gentlemen, is parents need to teach their children well, and you don't attack police officers. And that's not going to sit well for the thugs in the black community. You see, most of the violence in the black community is black-on-black violence. My sympathy goes out to the black community that has to put up with this garbage. And it is garbage, because we've had now generation after generation of dependency on government, dependency on welfare, and children without fathers, namely single-parent mothers, and what you invariably get is what you got in Ferguson. So sometime, either this week or next week, there'll be an announcement as to the findings, and then who knows what's going to happen. What you need to understand today, the weather is very cold in Ferguson, but also the Governor Jay Nixon has declared a state of emergency. And what they're preparing for is rioting. Now, I'm always for being prepared. And I was very, very disappointed when the police in Ferguson did not stop the looting and the violence that was occurring there and the burning of stores. Because that's one of the primary responsibilities of the police is to protect property and protect lives. Instead, the looters got the upper hand. I hope we don't have a repeat of that, and I think the governor is doing the right thing in preparing the various law enforcement agencies, both the state police, the county, and the Missouri County, St. Louis County police, to get organized and not have a repeat of it. I'm not going to prejudge this. Like I said, I have not heard the evidence that the grand jury has heard. But what I know, and I've seen the various leaks, is this was a righteous killing in self-defense of a criminal that was attacking a police officer. And that's not the narrative that this White House and this administration wants. It won't satisfy CNN, and it's not going to satisfy Al Sharpton and MSNBC. But the facts are the facts. And I'll let the grand jury decide. It could go the other way. And why I say that is fear that the grand jury could be attacked. I don't think that's going to happen, but that's always a possibility. So that's in the news today. And for some reason, well, I know why, Drudge has really been focusing on this and anticipating this, as well as some of the other major news. I think that's why he's doing it. At some point, I knew that the announcement will be made. And the more and more I learned about the details, it's going to be a no bill. In other words, they're not going to indict the police officer. But I'll tackle that story head on when we do have a definite decision out of the grand jury and see what the response is both from the community. I know the community really would like this to go away and would like the outside agitators, the community organizers, to also go away. It's not been very helpful if you live in Ferguson, because most of the stores there are boarded up in anticipation of riots. And I think they should be put down. In other words, if you're coming, especially from out of state or out of the area, so you can cause trouble in Ferguson, the first time your behavior indicates that, they should arrest you and put you in the county jail. Because I am sympathetic with the people of Ferguson, black and white, to have to put up with this. You see, the story that the press doesn't want to cover is that the black community, and this is across the nation, has to put up with these thugs, these gang members, these druggies in their neighborhood. They are the victims of black-on-black crime, not whites. And this is a case where this teenager, he's over 6 feet, folks. He's big. Going on to a junior college, but taking pot prior to this, robbed a store, shoplifting, and pushed a clerk down. And then he attacked a police officer when he was told to get out of the street. This is unacceptable behavior. Now, some of you will say, well, it doesn't mean you deserve to die. No, he didn't deserve to die. But when you attack someone and the police officer is in fear of his life, he is perfectly allowed and should defend himself as well. Remember, this teenager is reaching first for the officer's gun when the officer was still in the car. So when the announcement is made, I'll cover this story in detail, but I wanted to let you know that today that has been one of the subjects in the news. Now, one other story that I considered doing, but I'm not going to be doing. It was announced today that a doctor that originally was from Sierra Leone and was doing surgery in the country. Unfortunately for him, he probably came in contact with blood of someone that had Ebola. As a result, he came down with the disease. He was transported to the University of Nebraska, and that's one of the few facilities that are really truly equipped to treat people that have it. Unfortunately, he died. Because at the time he got to the facility Saturday, he died today. And that's sad, it's regrettable, but that highlights the fact that this virus is dangerous. It has each strain is going to have a different mortality rate, but this is over 70%. So he's one of the 70%, unfortunately, that he died from it. And the only good thing here is I think we've learned from our past mistakes, and we're now, to the extent we can, the United States is putting people that have Ebola in one of the few facilities that truly can treat it, because they're using, for example, spacesuits. That's not the only thing. But they have their own oxygen supply and equipment. They have the right gear, if you will, and they're trained for it, and they've been practicing for it. So he was sent to the right facility. Unfortunately, it was too late for him. So we've had two people so far have died from the Ebola virus, one in Dallas now and one in Omaha, Nebraska. And that's about as much as I want to say. Now, what I want to talk about has been in the news, but not prominently. Let me first say what has been in the news. There's speculation now after the 2014 election who will be running for president in 2016. I think it's fair to say, even though it's two years away, that it's going to be primarily a race between governors. The Republican Party has a number of outstanding governors that can run, both former and present, and I think you'll have at least two or three, if not more, run for the nomination on the Republican Party side. I think you might have also some senators. The one I think is a very positive, I would almost say definitely is running, is Senator Rand Paul, and he has much to recommend himself. My only problem is the more he stays in Washington, I'm getting somewhat bad vibes that he's being co-opted. Now, that's to be expected. But the issue that he really has to worry about, as far as I'm concerned, is how he's going to handle the immigration situation, namely the illegal immigration situation. And why I say that, particularly in the Republican Party, although their leadership is in denial about this, but it's really across the board. The American people want current immigration law enforced. Current immigration law enforced. They're not going for this comprehensive immigration nonsense, because all that is dressed up Actually, it's two things. One is to increase the numbers of legal immigration from 1 million to 2 million and subsequently to 3 million. That's a non-starter as far as I'm concerned and most Americans are concerned, because they think that 1 million is too high. No one is asking for this, but you're primarily your businesses, your large businesses, and their various associations, such as the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. But the Republican base is adamant in stopping illegal immigration, as is the American people, by wide majorities. The problem is the consultants that the leadership listens to are emphasizing, you need the Hispanic vote. Well, that's true. You do need the Hispanic vote. But who's been getting the Hispanic vote? It's the Democratic Party. They typically get two-thirds to three-fourths of the Hispanic vote here. And yes, to the extent you can get, let's say, half of it, I think that's being optimistic, that would help you out, especially if you're running for president. But it's not going to help you out locally, whether you're a representative or a senator, unless you're in certain states. And that is the problem. The general population, and what I mean by that, the majority of the American people, while they favor legal immigration, simply are totally against illegal immigration and want the laws enforced, which means deportation. It means apprehension and deportation, and not just at the border, but inside the United States, in the interior of the United States. And as soon as the Republican Party leadership faced that fact and stopped resisting the will of the American people, including their political base, they will be doing themselves a favor. As far as I'm concerned, they haven't learned that. Some are being very coy about it, and one tack that they're taking is, well, first we have to secure the borders. Okay, what does that mean? And that's what you have to ask. I'm for locking down the borders. What do I mean by that? So very few, if any, illegal aliens get across. That means really tighten it down. We don't have that today. We have open borders. It doesn't mean people don't get detained at the borders. They certainly do. Not at the past rates of over a million people, and that's largely because of the management of the U.S. Border Patrol, as well as the Immigration, Customs, and Enforcement Agency, are trying to let illegal aliens into the country. And once they get past the border, not enforce the law. Yet, all those officers, including the management and the president, have sworn their oath of office to defend and protect the Constitution of the United States. And part of that Constitution says it's the federal responsibility to protect the country against an invasion. And we have had an invasion over the last 15 years that has resulted in 30 to 50 million illegal aliens coming across and now working throughout the United States, primarily in certain states. We've been invaded, folks. And it's lack of leadership at the top, at the president. Believe me, if the president of the United States wanted to stop illegal immigration, he could. He could. He would demand the funds, and it would be implemented. And he would be a hero amongst the American people. I'm waiting for the person that wants to run on that come forth. They're all playing a little bit coy, or a little bit too smart for their own good. And I include both Senator Cruz and Senator Rand Paul in that. But the tack Republicans, especially if they are considering higher office or doing, is to first say, well, I'm for securing the borders. That's what Rick Perry says. But he's real squishy on illegal immigration. I'm not. I'm very much a rule of law, law and order person. And I think you have to put the American people, the American worker first. And that brings me to who I think the Democratic nominee is going to be. Who's going to run from the Democratic Party? Now, many of you are probably, well, it's Hillary's nomination. Well, something funny happened in 2008. She thought she was going to be it. She was the it girl. She was going to be the next president of the United States. Well, something funny happened on the way. What happened? And this is ironic in many ways, because Bill Clinton should have known better. But Barack Obama knew that the way to get that nomination first is to go to the far left and focus in on not winner-take-all states, but caucus states. And that's what he did. And he won enough of them that he got the nomination. It was close, but by the time Hillary Clinton and her advisors woke up to the fact that she was not a shoo-in, it was too late. Because Barack Obama could have been stopped. All you really needed to do was lay out his background, and that would have stopped them cold. But they didn't do that. They refused to do that. And as a result, Hillary Clinton became Secretary of State, and for all practical purposes, her record is mediocre at best, and I would say a failure. So as far as I'm concerned, Hillary Clinton is not a shoo-in. I think she's very much damaged goods. And why many in the Democratic Party, as well as the Clinton supporters, think that she will get the nomination, I don't think so at all. I think she's going to have competition, and it is going to come from the left of the party. Because here's what Bill Clinton should have known, because he was part of setting it up, that they had reform in 1968, actually 72, after the 68 convention. They had reforms. So the front runners couldn't just walk away with it. And Barack Obama took advantage of that. But Jerry Brown of California knows that. He's run for president. He knows how the game's played. And he, so far, has given every indication that he's not going to run. That, frankly, is a smart way to play it. And remember, he won re-election now to his fourth term as governor. When he was young, he was I think was the youngest governor of California, but he won two terms. This was in the 70s, and he came back. He was an attorney general, a mayor. He has been at various levels of government in California, and his family, his father, was a governor of California as well that liked to build a lot of highways and irrigation. So he's well-connected in California. And what's also important, he's run for president. And he is, as far as I'm concerned, well, he is a progressive. I'm not a progressive, but he is a progressive. Doesn't make any bones about that. Now, what's interesting, there are certain contradictions. First of all, he inherited large deficits. And remember, for those that are not familiar with California, it's really been controlled by the Democratic Party in terms of their legislature for years. Yeah, you still have some Republicans, but not many. So it's a mess. Financially, it's a mess. They have tremendously, for many, many years, lived beyond their means, and Governor Brown inherited that mess and is trying to do something about it, but he has one of his problems is, you know, I'm for fiscal responsibility, but I don't think the answer is more taxes. That's his problem. It is more taxes. He likes to be cute about it and says, if the people want more taxes. In other words, if the representatives pass it, I'm going to approve it, and that's part of the problem. So at least on paper, and when he talks about it, he sounds like he's for balanced budgets and fiscal responsibility. Sounds great, but you really got to cut spending. And he has cut some spending. There's no doubt about that. But what needs to be done is truly cut taxes and spending. He's not done that. But what is Jerry Brown's, well, his asset is, he obviously has a lot of votes in any convention from California. And I think he could leverage that into the nomination. He's going to have to make up his mind, though. And I think he'll announce early in 2016. Because he knows if he's going to run, he has to do it after Labor Day of 2015, which is a year, less than a year from now. But the very latest, by the beginning of the year 2016. Now, what he can do in the meantime is raise money. And I think he'll be doing that. He knows how to do it. He knows how the game is played. He has a solid base in California, and I think he's going to make a run for it. However, his announcements are clear that he's not. Now, what I think is going to stop him from winning the presidency is the immigration issue, because he's in favor and has signed the bill to give illegal aliens in the country driver's license, but he's made California a sanctuary state. So it is on the immigration issue that should he get the nomination, I think that's one reason why he will get the nomination, is his stand on illegal immigration, but also the fact that he has the experience and knowledge and executive experience that neither Hillary Clinton does not have, simply does not have. So he's a man of experience, somewhat fiscally responsible, knowledgeable what needs to be done, is taking it on. So he could very well get the nomination. I think he will run, and I think he, unless he makes some fundamental mistakes, will get the nomination. I don't think he can be elected president, though. And the reason is on illegal immigration. And you're going to have some rather impressive Republicans that can show better records, namely not only fiscal responsibility, but also better positions on the whole immigration problem. You see, one of the problems that Jerry Brown does not want to admit is when you get a flood of illegal aliens in the country, that costs money in terms of education and medical care. That's why California is running these massive deficits, or did in the past. So when you open your arms and encourage criminal behavior, come to California, welcoming people from around the world to come to California, while that might be attractive to the left wing of the Democratic Party, it's not attractive to the American people. So as far as I'm concerned, keep your eye on Jerry Brown. I think he's going to make a run for it. You're not going to see a positive announcement in probably until early 2016. But that doesn't mean he can't be going across the country helping candidates for office in other states, as well as trying to improve the mess in California. It is a mess. And he has made some inroads in this regard. But he needs to get the unemployment rate down in California, and he needs to balance the budget. And it's hard to do when you're inviting people to break into your state. Now, today unfortunately has to be a short show because I have a prior commitment. Usually my Thursday and Friday shows are going to be longer. Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. But Monday and Wednesday are shorter shows, and this definitely be a shorter show. So I wanted to do something different today, and I should have said this up front. To listen to the show, you go to pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops, pronkpops.wordpress.com. And at the very top, you'll have links to my most recent shows, 60 to 80 shows. The very bottom, links to all my shows. And in the middle, you'll have information. And for those that have never heard of Jerry Brown, when I was in California, he was referred to as Governor Moonbeam. Now, I actually left before he became governor. When I was there, Ronald Reagan was governor. But he came back after running for president, I think it was in 1992, became mayor of Oakland, and now he's the four-term governor of California. Remember, California is the largest state. Worldwide, it's the ninth biggest economy. So he has the executive experience, political experience, and he's a progressive. He's on the left. The problem is he's a statist. He's a collectivist. He's an intelligent guy, but he's playing the angles to get elected, and he's been successful at it. And this time, I think, if he runs for president, and really the only drawback I see is age, and I don't think that's a drawback because he's healthy, he's articulate. And if he stays that way, I don't think age is going to be an obstacle. His obstacle is going to be such issues as illegal immigration and his stand on that. With that, I'll play my favorite song. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College.